Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And this is the midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast show that we do twice a week.
Yes.
We do. Tonight, we're going to stitch and chat. Yep.
Oh, good. We're going to stab ground cloth tonight. That would
right.
be nice.
Only this time, we actually need to stitch. I actually need to stitch. So...
Yeah, you didn't stitch on World Embroidery Day.
No, not a lick. Not one stitch. Jennifer's sitting there, practically finished a project. And,
I know.
Yeah.
I got like, I don't know, maybe 30 stitches in, but you didn't get anything, huh?
No, I mean, I set it all up. I set it all up, ready to stitch. I used my phone for the camera for that. Finally, about an hour in, I just turned it off. Because I knew there was no way. But, yeah, we got a stitch tonight. Actual stitches have to go in tonight.
Excellent. So
that world, I am still pumped up about World Embroidery Day. If people did not see that last Friday, the show, 3-hour show, go watch it on our YouTube channel. You know, get your stitching out. Put it up on a screen.
Right.
You 3 hours, and I know it's 3 hours, but you know, do it an hour at a time, whatever. Boy, it was just fantastic.
People stitch for 3 hours. Yeah. You know, Natalie Dupuy. Now I'm having a brain.
Kathy Andrews. Yep.
And Barbara Hudson.
Yep.
And all three different, very different techniques they use. They do different presentations. But each one individually fantastic.
Yep. You know? It was so much fun. Yeah. Learned so much. Holy smokes.
Right.
Just learn. It was great. Yeah. I'd never, like when Natalie did Prick and Pounce, I'd never seen that done. I mean, I read Mary Corbett's thing, you know, I've read several things about how you do it, but to see it done.
It no longer intimidating. And I was thinking about that, you know, we were talking about samplers before we got on, and so many of the samplers have like hand embroidery on them. I'm sure that's what they did, some sort of frickin' pounce the teachers did, where they put the design on and then traced it down for their students.
Yeah, had to. Yeah.
So there's the technique. There's how you do it.
Yep.
No longer scary. No longer in like terrifying.
Right. Yeah, it really wasn't, I mean, other than the effort of doing it, it wasn't that big a deal.
No.
I just always had visions of why would anyone do this? You'd have all this powder on everything, and you don't.
Mm-hmm. No.
You know, and then she just tapped on the backside with a brush and knocked all of it off. So.
Yes. And then it was gone, and she was ready to stitch.
Yep. Oh, that was, and that just starts the show. That's just the first half hour. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was fantastic. And that was the other thing. Now I have a, what is the frame that she uses?
A slate frame.
Slate frame. I bought a small one and I've yet to put something on it. Holy smokes. Is that piece of cloth she had? Is that on there tight or is that on there tight?
It is.
Whoa.
And I have one for my casket and we're getting ready to do the Melinda Sherbring piece, More Than a Rose, and I think that neat could go on my slate frame.
Yeah. Well, okay. All right, then we need to get together because I just want to put something on the slate frame. I just want to go through the experience of getting it attached.
Yes.
So have you ever done it?
No, I actually did a fake one with I think with Evertights, where you wrap it around the Evertights and then you use the screws to make it expand and tighten. It works, but it's not as good.
Man, that thing is so tight. I mean, you'd think that cloth would just rip at some point.
Yeah.
But no, obviously not.
No. So I'd like to do that. Like to play with that. There's got to be videos online, right? So we can learn how to do this.
Yeah, there are. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, maybe we get Natalie. Maybe Natalie would just guide us through it one day. Yeah. That'd be fun.
Yes.
Except, it's my impression that it's not something you sit down and do in half an hour.
No.
It's an effort.
It is. You got, don't, because you have to lace everything up.
Right.
And then you kind of slowly pull things.
Yeah.
Is my impression. I mean, that's what I did with on the Evertight. And it took a while to set it up. And then you're supposed to loosen it when you're done a little bit. So you're not stretching your fabric all the time.
Oh.
And then every time you go back and stitch, you've got to go and you've got to tighten it a little bit again.
Yeah. Because intimidating to me is that you obviously want the warp and the weft to be absolutely straight and absolutely square.
Yes.
So that seems tedious. I bet it's like prick pounce thing. Once you do it, it's not that big a deal. But
right.
It seems.
But it's doing it the first time might be.
Yeah.
A little complicated.
A little much. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I would like I would. That's one thing I would like. I'm not never opposed to just teaching myself. But that's one thing where I wouldn't mind having some hand holding just to the first time, you know?
Right. Right.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Maybe I'll beg Natalie.
Please. Help me.
Yep. Yep. I'm really was pumped up after that show. That was 3 hours right. of really good stuff. Oh, the samplers that Barbara Hudson has coming up. Oh, man. Whoa.
I know.
And, out of the and park.
Once she just got and she's not charted yet, that blue one that has all, it obviously has a lot of embroidery. I'm thinking, oh, that would be fun to do.
Yep.
I know we're a small group that like to do that, but it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Yep. That's why I said I want the first one. I want that baby. That's that's beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. And Kathy, oh.
Yeah. She has a beautiful studio, though.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of that, oh, man, was that nice. Yeah. No, I remember when I interviewed her for a show, she was just getting that together, and I was most curious to see how it ended up. Oh, can you imagine showing up every morning and working in that place, that wall of windows? Oh.
Yes. and just all the natural light you have coming in and being able to look out. So that way you're, you know, when you sit, you're not supposed to be stitching hunched over all the time. You look up and you have a view.
Yep.
I don't know,
it's a view of nature. It's not a view of some street with trucks going by. It's she's got it. That's it. That's the spot right there. Mm-hmm.
All right. And then I love it that she seems to make stories to go with her pieces, which I love.
Yep.
I love hearing, you know, making up her own stories or a story to go with her, with that, whatever embroidery she's doing. I love it.
Yeah. So, yep, that was it. Go listen to that show. Next time, yeah, put it on. You'll enjoy it. You'll learn so much. Have a piece of paper and a pencil next to you, though. You might want to make a note or two.
Yes.
I did. I made a whole bunch of notes. Yeah. Oh, and to end, I knew she knew. At the end, Barbara Hudson, the last 15 minutes or so, I asked her to look up at her bookshelf and give us, you know, her top whatever books. And just that segment alone, if you're interested in reproduction samplers and history, the books that she laid out, that's, to me, that was worth everything right there. Because, you know, those are books, if you don't know they exist, you don't know about them. And,
right. And you can't, because they're not just books you can go and do an Amazon search unless you know what you're looking for. I think most of them were from museums even.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah.
Which makes them super cool.
Yep. So that alone, I mean, if you're interested in history of reproduction samplers, those books alone, what there was half dozen of them, I think she gave us. So,
yeah.
Yeah. That was fun. That was so much fun. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do another event on August 13. We're going to do another event for World Cross Stitch Day. We're not going to, I'm sure there's a World Needlepoint Day and a World, you know, whatever days, but we're going to do Cross Stitch Day. So we'll be putting that together, obviously, rather quickly here because we got less than 2 weeks. But Friday afternoon on the 13th, we're going to do a World Cross Stitch Day, and we'll see if we can get some designers to join us and talk to us and so on and so forth. One thing that we are going to make sure is that there's about a half hour in that 3 hour thing. So Beth, Jennifer, and I can
get up and move around. Call of nature, something.
Something, anything. Yeah. Oh, man.
That was a little long.
It was. I couldn't sign off fast enough after that one. Gotta go.
Gotta go. Time to go.
Yep. So we will have that little break in there, but we are going to do something for World Cross Stitch Day. If you're a designer and you're interested, contact us. It'd make it a lot easier. Otherwise, I'm going to start putting out the word and see if we can get some designers in. More than three. I think we're looking at maybe a half hour each for each designer, and so we can get more in. So, we'll do that, and that'll be the 2 to 5. We'll do the 2 to 5 Eastern time on the 13th. Keep the time the same so that people can recognize it, I guess, or whatever. But so 2 to 5 on the 13th, and then if you're a designer and you're interested in joining us, let me know, and I'll hunt down some designers, and we'll just have a good time. But there will be a half hour where we're just going to talk because
everybody needs a little break. Stand up, move around.
And, you know, we had talked about each of us being able to take a break. I didn't want to. I was hanging in there.
It was fascinating. And I kept thinking, okay, we're going to take a little break. We're going to take a little break. And
Nope. Yeah. I didn't want to stop. Yeah. So, but we got to stop. Sanity. So that was good. That was really good. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yes.
So that's coming up on the 13th, and go listen to the World Embroidery Day. That was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. I learned a lesson yesterday. We're recording this on Monday. And so Sunday. Well, all right. I'll start from the beginning. I have this sampler. It's called Sarah Parr 1825. It's a North England sampler, York or something. I don't know. Been around a long time. And reproduced by Sandra Murray. But the thing that's so cool is it's Sarah Parr, Sarah with an H, and Parr spelled 1A, 2Rs. Well, that's our daughter. Our daughter, Sarah. That's how her name is spelled with an H. And, of course, Parr 1A, 2Rs. So I bought this quite a while ago from the attic. Got the threads and everything. Silk Mori. It's chartered for Silk Mori, and there's another story there. So I started it, and I got about a third of it done. And then, you know, the fiber talk stuff, and eventually it just got set aside. And when I got it, I said to Sarah, you know, do you want this? When I finish this, would you want this framed up? Figuring she'd say, nah, I'm not, no. I said, no big deal if you don't, because I'll keep it. Well, she wants it, and she's actually, in the year plus that it sat idle, has asked about it a couple of times, so that means she really wants it. Well, yeah. Marga mentioned a week or so ago, we were talking about, Cooper and Connor, our two grandsons, their birthdays are both in July, so obviously we've been talking about birthdays quite a bit, and we mentioned that, or she mentioned that Sarah's 40th birthday. And that's frightening, having a kid that's 40 years old, let me just tell you. But is at the end of October. And the little light went on and said, you got to get that sampler done and framed. That's got to be the gift.
It would be a perfect gift.
Yes. So, okay. So I first thing was I had to find it. Well, that was not too tough. Fortunately, I had it stored away and knew right where it was. So I get it out. And I set it up and so on and so forth. But now Sunday, I have all afternoon and into the evening to stitch on this thing. There's drag racing on, you know, I can sit there and I can just stitch. So it was already on the scroll frames. So, all right, I get the threads out. I had the chart. I knew where that was. I got my hands on it. I get the threads out. I had put the threads on one of those plastic butterfly thread keep things. Mm-hmm. I had not even cut the threads. I just pulled them off the skeins, unwrapped them, and put them on there. And I was just apparently just pulling off pieces as I needed them. The worst part, I didn't label them. I didn't put any marking on that thread keep for which was which. And I didn't even have them all on there. There's like 8 or 9 thread colors, and I had 5. And so I have this basket on my working table that is full all the active threads. And I thought, oh no, what have I done here? How come I didn't set this up? You know? So then I had to dig out all the skeins, and then I got at some point I was still missing a skein, found it in the bottom. And so this Sunday that I was just going to sit here and pound away at the motifs, I had to get all the threads. And then, of course, there's shades. So I had to match up the shades because I didn't mark anything down.
Right.
And all the time I'm going, you know, I know how to set these projects up. What am I doing? What was I thinking?
You wanted to get stitching. You didn't want to take the time to do the setup. So normally, okay, now I have those butterfly things, and I use them mainly for when I'm doing a Mill Hill bead kit, and then I number, there's numbers on them. So I just number the threads on my chart. But how would you do you have a labeler? Do you put a label on them?
I know. I took them off and did them the way I do every other sampler, and that's with those thread drops where I actually mark the color, the name of the thread and the color number on the thread drop. And cut the threads. This is silk mori, so I cut it shorter.
Yes.
And cut the threads and put them on there so I can actually stitch. So that's what I spent most of Sunday when I was going to stitch. That's what I did, was I was cutting threads, identifying which colors they were.
And what surprised me was when you said you used the butterfly, because I specifically use it for something where I know where I can easily label it. I mean, and it seems too small for one of those samplers.
Well, this is a bigger one. It's a bigger butterfly, but you know, there's only 8 colors. So, you know, that really wasn't a problem, but you actually have to label them. And they're numbered. The holes are numbered. So I thought, well, I must have marked on the chart. You know, I must have.
No,
I didn't. And why didn't I have the threads in with the lightest color all the way to the darkest color? No, they were just in there random. And it's like, you know, what am I? I have no idea what I was thinking, because, I mean, how many projects have I set up? I know exactly how to do it, so you're all organized.
It just surprised me. Could you have been kind of cleaning up, like maybe you had them laid out, those threads laid out, you were using them and...
No, I had them on there intentionally. I was clear. The only thing I can conclude is I was clearly determined that I was going to stitch that thing right straight through, a monogamous stitcher. I was going to stitch it right through. And so I knew right where the threads were, because that's all I was working with. That's the only thing I can think. But, you know, huge mistake, because that cost me a lot of time, because, you know, it got put away and forgotten about.
Right.
And so then just to get reoriented alone sucked up too much time. So lesson learned there, you know, do it right the first time.
Jeez. Okay. So here's my question. Do you keep scissors with each of your projects and needles, or you,
no.
So you have a separate spot, you keep all that?
Yeah. I keep all the tools separate. No, I don't. No. Cause I take like that one. If I take a big piece of linen off that, off the scroll bars, then I have lengths of PVC pipe. And so then I'll tape the edge on with artist tape, and then I roll it on PVC pipe and then put it in plastic bags. You know, I don't fold it up, because, you know, once I got all the wrinkles out, there's no way I'm folding that again. So that's how they're stored, is in plastic bags with PVC pipe, wrapped on PVC pipe so they don't wrinkle. So
and labeled.
Now, Beth.
Well, I was just curious, because to me, see, that would be a problem. That would be a problem, because I've done that, and I'd be like, okay, so there's those things, they're rolled up. What's in that roll? Then you have to unroll it and say, oh yeah, that's this project, and then roll it back up, and you gotta go looking for the one you're looking for. That's why I asked if you labeled it.
Yeah, that was a few days earlier when I was getting it put on the scroll bars. That was the process I went through because they're none of them labeled. No.
Yeah.
And I had two on one pipe.
Of course.
Yeah. And No. See, this is what I mean. It's take the time to do it up front, do it right, so that if you have to set it aside for a length of time, you can pick it up and all the pieces are there and they're labeled. And I didn't do it. Dumb. And I did have one. I took the bag off, unrolled it, and what's this one? Oh, yes. Now I remember. No, it was a big lesson learned, and it was a big waste of time, and I'm not happy about it, but it's my own fault.
And it is hard because, there's always the next shiny object that you see. Yep. I've got a project downstairs, and I know where the canvas is. I think I know where the threads are, but where's the chart that goes with it?
Mm-hmm.
And then I've totally lost one whole project with the threads, the canvas. And I'm like, okay, because at one point I cleaned it all up and I organized it. And I'm like, okay, where did I organize that silly project to? Not that I don't, like, I need it, but it's like, it would be nice to know where that one project is.
Yep.
But...
Yep.
No. Yeah. I feel your pain.
Yeah.
And
of course, it's ridiculous. The ridiculous part is to have so many projects that are in action that you can't keep track of them. I mean, that's just pathetic. That's just pathetic to the nth degree.
I know.
It's the reality. And still,
Yeah.
Oh, and I did. I mean, I had the whole afternoon. Like, I had to do something for the house in the morning. So I got all sweaty, got done, had some lunch, took a shower. The whole rest of the day is wide open for just stitching and watching drag racing.
Yeah.
And no.
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 And there's nothing more frustrating than that. Thinking, okay, I am going to have this time. It's my own.
Yep.
I can stitch. Okay, where are my threads?
Yep.
Where's my needles? Where's my project?
Yep.
Right. That I need to get done. That it's this is next on the list of things to do.
Yep.
Oh, yep. Frustrating. Totally frustrating. Only thing that's worse is if you physically run out of thread. You're working on a project and you have to go to the store to get it, or wait and order it in. And,
Yeah, that's maddening. Yes. So there's the lesson learned. Do it right the first time. Label stuff and. Now, I don't even know what the linen is. I didn't write that down, so I have no idea what the linen is. It's 40 count something.
Well, I know you have some sort of spreadsheet with your threads, because you told me that you do.
Yeah.
But do you have some sort of list of your works in progress, some sort of physical spreadsheet?
Let's put it this way. I have the full setup that Teresa Little Stitcher set up on GoodNotes. I have the full thing designed exactly for that. I mean, I bought it, loaded it, everything. And it's, that's what her setup is fantastic. If you're looking for something that will organize your projects, Teresa Little Stitcher's thing is worth it. And I don't know, it's like $30 or something like that. I forget. It's beautiful. I have that all in my iPad. I have yet to put a project in there, and I am such an idiot because that's exactly what it's for. And so now I have no idea what this linen is. It's just going to be 40 count linen. No, I'm my own worst enemy. A half hour putting that into that thing. It's all set up to label the threads, everything. And I haven't done it. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I hate, to me, I do hate taking the time to do that little bit of work where you just say, okay, this is the threads I'm using. This is the date I started, something I like to keep track of.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I am. This is the threads I'm using. That's all I keep track of. I don't keep track of a whole lot, but But then if you don't do it, then you're like, you're looking back. I'm looking, I keep it in the notebook. I'm looking at it and I'm like, oh, didn't I take a note on that at all? No, nothing on this.
And that's just what, that's all it is. It's just a few minutes. And I hate doing that stuff and I put it off and then I forget about it. And, you know, and then I end up with these afternoons where the plan and the reality are at opposite ends. And, So there's lesson learned. I don't know if I'll learn the lesson again or actually get better. I think I know, but I'm going to try. You know? Because that's, you know, that's another thing. Now, when I was looking for those threads, now I have rings of silk for 3 samplers in my box of active threads. Do you think that I have a tag on there that says what project it's for?
Oh.
No.
Oh, that's bad.
No.
Because, you know, for me, that would be really bad because I'm such a scatterbrain. I would look at that and say, I have no clue what this is for, you know. What is this for?
Well, see, you know, in my mind, not a big deal because I pull out the chart, count how many colors, then count how many colors are on the ring. All right, that goes with this one. Match up 2 or 3 to make sure that they match up. Good to go. But, you know, there's 15 more minutes that if I'd simply taken one of those thread drops and written on there what the name of the project is and put it on the ring, I wouldn't, you know. Right. Matter of fact, when we're done recording this, I'm going to do that.
That's a good plan. That's a good plan.
But
you know, you saw my box of threads on World Embroidery Day where I keep, that's where I keep the Spring Hill thread.
Uh-huh.
I should really label that Spring Hill a Rosewood Manor with a little labeler because one of these days, you know, I'm hoping I'm going to work through Spring Hill and it's going to get done. But there's always that chance.
Yep. Yep.
That I'll get distracted.
It's possible. It's been known to happen. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, you know, and you look at it, okay, stitching time. Like for me, stitching time is pretty precious. I don't get that much of it. And then, okay, you know, I accept that. You do what you can, and you move on with life. But then I had a chunk, and I wasted it just because I didn't take 15 minutes ahead of time to set it up right. Yeah.
To set it up, yeah. And it doesn't really take that long those few little things. Those few little things. I'm telling you about the Mill Hill bead kits. I used to not separate out the threads and put them on those little butterflies until one time I was stitching along. I'm like, this is totally the wrong color. I have just, you know, now I've got to take all the time to rip it out and redo it and yada, yada. So taking the, well, actually it takes a little longer in some of the bigger kits, but, you know, labeling, pulling the threads, matching them to the DMC chart, putting them on the ring, the proper order, labeling my chart. It makes it so much easier.
Yep.
And then, you know, now I've got one started, but I can just go pull that out if I need to. You know, when we're traveling, those are my favorite things to take.
Mm-hmm.
But it's there. I don't have to do anything. It's ready to go.
Yep.
Whenever I am.
Yep.
And that makes it nice. That's, you know, that's the other thing. When you do that pre-work, you can just, oh, here's my bag and that's that project I want to work on again. It's all ready. You know, you can just pick it up and start stitching.
Yep.
But
that
not
was
doing
the plan.
The pre-work. Oh, yeah.
That was the plan. No, because I knew right where the threads were at. You know, scissors, needles, and all that stuff. That sits on my tabletop, on my desk here. No, I mean, I, you know, it should have been straightforward, but nope, got tripped up at the thread part. Yeah. Yeah. But I will say, so it's interesting about Silk Mori, Krynek Silk Mori. I hate that thread.
You hate it, huh? That much, huh?
I struggle so much to stitch with that thread that I actually will have one of those little sponges damp and run it on down a strand before I stitch with it because it can be just really flyaway silk.
Yes.
It really can be just annoying. In the few stitches that I put in, now here in Missouri, where the humidity is through the roof, was not as bad. So
right. So you're probably stitching on it in the wintertime up in Illinois, right. And then it's probably horrible.
Yeah, like I hate it.
Right.
But yeah, so I'm going to be cooking on this while the humidity's high in Missouri because it's stitched like normal silk. And other people have no trouble with it at all. But for me, it's just one of those that.
It kind of makes me wonder, silks are different. They have different, what's that called that they, when they spin it, whether it's a really long length of, of silk or whether it's a shorter one that they've kind of twisted together. Right. And it makes you wonder, because I know some people don't like stitching with Splendor, but I love Splendor. That's one of my favorites.
Oh, I think that's nice stuff.
Love Splendor.
Oh,
I do love Splendor. And I did stitch one piece, and it had one little package of that Silk Mori stuff. And it, you touched it, and it was just like shredded. And I was
Yep. Oh, yeah. I can find many faults with it. But I have to say, the stitches I put in, boy, I just stitched, and it was nice. So keep the humidity up here for at least that one benefit. Otherwise, no.
No humidity.
Yeah, I look for winter when it gets dry. Yep. Yeah. So there it is right there. There's the lesson, the big lesson learned. The trick is to keep it. But yeah, if people are interested in an organizational setup, the one Teresa Little Stitcher put together is really, really well done. She really did a nice job. I encourage you to check it out. And she has more than one video showing how to use it and how to set it up. It's really very, very well done and worth the money if you're going to use it. To somebody like me who buys it and then doesn't use it, there we go. But
So is it only for Macs, or you can use it for Android too? Does she have an Android one? Android people.
I think it's both, because she does it with here. Now I'm gonna. She does it with GoodNotes, and I think there is a GoodNotes. Version for Android. The Android people.
Right. My boys helped me with that, but now I'd have to get them to help me again. So like my tech team is in college. So.
And see, this is pathetic here. I'm sitting here with my tablet and going to call it up quickly, and I can't do it. It's buried in one of the folders. I'm not sure which. I'm an idiot. I mean, let's just face it.
So your folders look like my folders. My kids come along and they're like, this is a mess. And they'll come and they'll clean up my emails for me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Is this it here? Yes, this is it. Yeah. So, because she has all of the... DMC colors in it with color squares. You can put in how much money you spent. No way I'm doing that.
No way.
You can track your stash, plan it. You can put projects in. You can do by month. You can track your progress. Like if you do a rotation or something, you can do that. I think it's exceptionally well done. She really worked it out, and the support is there through her videos for how to use it. Yeah.
Right. It's so, and I like that idea, because keeping track of like your threads, that would be just fabulous to know. That way, if when you happen to hit a shop, and what was that thread I needed?
Yep.
If it's already on your tablet or on your device,
Yep.
So much easier.
Because you take, for instance, here, she has the stash one. So she has, in the stash tab, you put the fabric, what you paid for it, what the brand is, the size, and the count. So you can, all your pieces of fabric, you can track in here. So you know what you have, so you don't go buying twice. And
so you don't have to go dig through the box.
Right.
And say, I thought I had a piece of 40 count platinum in the bottom here.
Yep. Exactly. Chart, pattern, stash. The chart, the location, and details are the three entries. And so you can, location being key. Where did I put that? Then you can add, pages. You can put pictures in. It's just, if you buy it, mention FiberTalk, please. We don't get anything out of it, but mention FiberTalk. But it's just a project thread conversion, original thread, change to whatever. There's a chart in there for that. Your goals, that's laughable, but some people have goals. A day to achieve by.
Right.
What is your project? So you track your projects. End of year review.
Which is nice to do.
Yeah.
I know I do, and it gives me an assessment of, okay, so what have I worked on last year? What am I going to work on next year?
Yep. Now here's something. So we'll come to the finance tab. Now she has a purchase tracker.
Talk about that.
Okay. I ain't going anywhere near this one. But if you think about it, here in this purchase tracker, she has a slot for the date ordered, the vendor, date received, contact details, what you ordered, what the costs were, what the shipping charges. And, when I bought this before the pandemic, useless. But these days, right, with the supply chain like it is, this is valuable.
Yes. And the other thing that's valuable, which is terrible to mention, that there are the people stealing packages.
Yes. Yep.
So you need your receipt and all that, but at least you've written this information down
right
for yourself too.
Yep. Yep. No, this is so different perspective today than we had 2 years ago. This is valuable. Now, the next one is the year spend tracker, where you have how much you spend each month. Now, there's no way on God's green earth I'm filling that in any way, shape, or form. But this purchase tracker, now that's valuable. Okay, I got in this order, but it was missing this thread. How many times do you forget that you still have a thread coming?
Right.
Because, I'll use Kim at Sassy Jacks. She shipped it because she wanted to ship you as much as she could, but she was missing one thread, and she knew it was going to be another month before it showed up. You mark a note in here and you have it. And then a month from now, Kim, how are we doing? And then you have it.
Well, or even her Cosmos Club. And you mentioned to me, have you gotten your Cosmos threads? Well, you know what? I was like, I haven't gotten those. And then I went back and looked. Well, I hadn't sent in my PayPal. So
there we go.
No wonder I hadn't gotten it. But that would have been, again, it would have something that would have reminded me. Because Kim sent me the notice. It was totally my bad.
Uh-huh.
How do you, if you don't have some sort of reminder, and there it goes. It goes in and get busy and life happens.
Yep. No, this thing is really well done. I mean, she even has a tab in here. Here we are. We're selling Teresa's thing, but I just think it's really well done. If you do FlossTube videos, she even has a chart in here for the title, the category, how long you did, the whips you showed, talking points, when you recorded it, when you published it, keywords, links, everything you need to do a video. And you can put it all in there. And of course, then if you're doing one a month, you can look back and see, I already showed those.
Right.
So,
And I was doing, that would be handy for me. I was doing, during the pandemic, I was doing videos for my guild. It was purely for my guild to help them with a Canvas chart. Well, it'd be a while since I'd done one. I'm like, oh, shoot, what did I tell them last time?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that would have been, you know, not that I made that many of them, but it would have been nice to have some sort of notes.
Right.
To go back and reference.
Yep. Well, it's all here. I mean, she put the whole shoot and match together. You know, content ideas for your floss tubes, video brainstorming, giveaways. You can, if you give do giveaways, you can track those in there. Channel analytics, if you want to track how many people view it and how long they view it and so on and so forth. All of it. I mean, this is just, it's just really, really complete and well done and easily expanded. And yeah, so highly recommend it. Teresa Little Stitcher, she lives, she's in England, but she, you should follow her anyway. She does a really nice job with her videos. And you can get it from her Etsy store or whatever. I don't know what it is. But straightforward. Yep. Okay. That's enough commercial for Teresa. I love her, but you know.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. So check that out. Yep. Interesting thing that you found, this quote from Inspiration's newsletter.
Right. The one, and it was just the last one. It was came on July 30th, the Friday newsletter. And it said, they were talking about athletes in the Olympics. And it said, the common lessons learned throughout each of the athletes' journeys are that if you're able to imagine just how far you can go and are willing to take the first step required, and then take another and another and another, before you know it, you'll find yourself where you once only imagined. The campaign closed with a simple but powerful truth. You don't need to be amazing to start, but you need to start to be amazing, which is such a, you know, I kind of like, but I think the first part is important, is that, you know, the first step, taking that, and it applies so much to needlework. I'm thinking I'm closing in on a finish on Anya's day. Well, I worked on it slowly, just taking little bites out of it and doing just a little at a time. And I can, now I can see huge progress on this piece, which I, at first I thought I must be crazy to be working on this piece because it's so big.
Right.
But it also goes to doing with any of these, you know, we were talking about embroidery on samplers. People are terrified to do that. Well, so you start with just a little motif and you practice and then you'll get better. It's just that taking that first step.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Well, and, I mean, we talked about it, Natalie Dupuis showing us how to prick and pounce,
right?
You know, to read about it and hear about it, most intimidating sounding. And then when she shows you, it's like, well, okay, I can do that. And but yeah, you're right. You got it. At some point, you got to take that first step.
Right.
If you're interested in doing it, if you're interested for in needlework and expanding and adding a technique, or even doing a sampler that has some embroidery, you got to take that first step. Grab a piece of trash cloth and at least try. Yeah.
Right. Right. And it's just taking that first needle in. And it's not going to be perfect. No, it isn't. It's like when you're training to run a marathon, you know, the first long run is terrible, terrible, painful, even if you've been training for it. But then you're like, okay, the next week comes along. You're like, okay, I've done that. I've done a 10 miler. I can do this. I can do another one. But it's just taking those first steps. If you don't start, you never will get to that finish line, and you won't get better too if you're not practicing.
Okay. All right. Why? All right. Then what is it about needlework that we don't take that same mental approach that you would toward a marathon, or for me riding 100 miles on my bike in a day,
right?
Where you start out and you ride 20 miles and you build up to 30 miles, or you run 3 miles and you build up to 5, and you know, we know that's a situation where you need to develop over time. So then why don't we use that same approach with needlework, where, all right, I'm going to do a chain stitch. It looks awful. You know, it's just terrible. Like, it didn't even look like a chain. But you know, like you said, the first run hurts all over the place.
Right.
You know, but then you come back and you do it again and you do it again. Like a cyclist I follow who loves to climb mountains and time himself. He, you know, his mantra is keep doing it till it doesn't hurt anymore and then add to it, you know. Mm-hmm. So right. why don't we do that? You know, why don't we take and learn a stitch and practice and get better and practice and get better to the point where we've mastered it? I don't know. We expect it to be perfect out of the gate, and there's no way.
I think so, and it isn't. And I was looking at one of the first needlepoint pieces I did. I gave to my mother-in-law, and she still has it. And I was looking at it, and I was like, you know, it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, but I see my errors. I can see the problems.
Yeah.
And I've learned since then, you know, and, you know, taking the time to pull a stitch maybe tighter than I used to. I was afraid of making holes or, you know, whatever when I first learned. I didn't really know how to use a laying tool very well. You know, it's just a matter of practicing it. And I just don't, I think sometimes we're afraid. We're afraid of trying something new, you know, making a mistake with the needlework. You know, hey, you know, and no one cares. You know, if you're perfect the first time, you don't have to even show it to anyone, as if you've said, you know, just take right. a piece of cloth and practice on it.
Yep.
It's kind of fun to learn new things. You know, I don't know. I just.
Yeah. And here's a shocker. There is no social media rule that says you have to show it.
Right.
There's not that rule.
No.
Yeah.
You don't have to. My guild is getting ready to do the Melinda Sherbring class, the More Than a Rose. And one of the reasons it's appealing to me and appealing to several other members is there's that one stitch that we don't know how to do. And then we're using a thread. I think some of the threads are heavier than we normally use for the stitches we're going to use them. So like you do a chain stitch with a metal thread.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And I could do a chain stitch.
Yeah.
But doing it, and I'm like, okay, so I'm going to have, and she gives you ways to practice these things. And I'm not sure if it's a chain stitch or whatever, but you're using a thread that is a little bit harder to manipulate and to do this piece. But she obviously knows that people are terrified of this. So she gives you she says, go buy this, I think it's nylon cording. And I'm like, oh, so we're going to practice with this stuff. But that's what she's going to have you do. She's going to have you practice with it first with something nasty.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that way, when you do it with these gold threads or very much more expensive threads, you've practiced it a few times
mm-hmm.
and learned how to manipulate it better. I'm terribly excited. I know my piece is not going to look fabulous, but I can't wait to learn.
Yeah.
And so that way, when I move to my casket and I'm manipulating those similar threads, I've at least tried it once on a smaller piece.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have a clue. Yep. Not
right.
as intimidating.
So I have a clue.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And again, the piece is smaller. That casket is very intimidating because it's a huge piece, but this is a smaller piece. So yeah, you know, 8x10, I can handle this. I can handle this. But just one step at a time. One step at a time.
Yeah.
And I think people are afraid. I think people, you know, do a little plug for EGA. I think that's the good thing about going to a face-to-face to a guild is we're there to teach people. We love it when people come in and they're just like, I've never done an eyelet. We're like, yes, we love you. We want to teach you how to do an eyelet. We want to teach you how to do a chain stitch or how to make your satin stitches lay flat if you don't know how,
right.
If you've never learned. And we can physically show you how to do this.
Yep.
We can walk you through this.
Yeah. No. All right. Just for the record, when you're getting ready to run a marathon, how far before the marathon, how far do you have to be able to run comfortably and know that you'll be able to get the full 26? 18 miles?
Some people say 20. 18 if you're like you're young, like we're talking 20-year-olds. I had a friend that's what she did. She ran, I think she ran 13 or 14 miles, and then she ran her first marathon. She was in college. She was running a lot every day.
Okay.
She said, and she swore she'd never run another marathon. That's how bad it was.
Uh-huh.
I normally, I haven't run a marathon in a long time, but, and I did do the 20 mile. That was not long enough for me. The next marathons, I always try to do at least 23 or 24. Because the last 6 miles of that 20, when I did the 20 mile trainer, were incredibly painful.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can imagine that's got to be much more mental than physical after 20 miles.
Yeah. It's just a matter of pushing through, getting to the end.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Because for cycling 100 miles in a day, that was the advice I was given, and most people track with that, is 2 weeks before the event, you got to be able to ride 80 miles, basically stopping once to go to the bathroom and get more water. And if you can do that, you can knock off the last 20, because in a century ride, a club ride, you're going to stop every 25 miles or so anyway for food and water. So yeah, 80 miles nonstop 2 weeks before, and you can do it. So it's pretty much the same percentage. Yeah.
Right.
Of distance. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. But no, I always figured that a marathon, I'm sure people could care less about this, but I'm curious. But I figured that last 6 miles was all in the head.
It is. Yeah. It is. And you know, you're with people you don't even know, and you're like, you know, don't quit. You're telling them, you're telling yourself, and you're telling them.
Yeah.
We're at the end. I can hear them cheering. I can hear them. We got to get through this. This is it. You know, we can get it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, once you get 20 miles under your belt, oh man, to give up. Oh.
And you know, you hit a wall though. That's what they say. You hit that wall and then you just can't move another step. And you know, you see people who just went too fast at the beginning, and it's painful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you cross that line, it's worth everything.
Yes, it is. It is. It's just this awesome feeling. And yeah, it's like finishing a project.
Yeah.
Do you remember that feeling?
Yeah. Yeah. It's happened once or twice. Yeah. Yep. It has. Hey, speaking of finished projects, we were taking a different route home from Sarah's the other day, and we went by a frame store. Not a great frame up or anything like that, but a full metal artist frame store.
Mm-hmm.
And so Marga looked that up to see if they did needlework, and they do. Because Hannah Longstreth needs to get framed, and it needs to get framed well.
Right.
And so it got me thinking about that. When you invest in a project like that, what do we, can we divide projects into, here's a project that I will spend a good chunk of money to get the best possible framing finishing because I want it to last forever, hand me down, whatever.
Right.
You know, do you have projects that are kind of a mid-range thing where I'll go to the great frame up or whatever and get it done? And of course, now somebody's going to say, well, that's an excellent place. I don't know. I'm just using it as an example. And then are there projects where I'll just finish it myself because I just needs to get decent.
Done.
Yeah.
Right. So, right. And I have at least two projects right now that need to be framed up, that need to be finished. And one of them is for my nephew and his wife. They just had a baby. And I know this piece will probably end up in the trash.
Mm-hmm.
10 years down the road. It's a baby sampler, whatever. I am not spending money on that to frame it. just because I know them, and it doesn't hurt my feelings. I just know it's a fact, and I'm fine with that. So I'm going to frame that myself. I have another piece that I took a class in. I love the technique. I learned a whole lot. But do I really think it's going to be an heirloom piece? No. So now I've got to go, and I'm going to go look and take some measurements and see if I can frame it myself from Goodwill.
Uh-huh.
Now, I've been looking at Debbie Rowley's Royal Garden piece, and I think I'm going to take time to have that framed.
Okay.
Because I've enjoyed stitching it. Every time my sisters or anyone sees it, they're like, wow, that's just a fabulous piece. And, you know, of course, my kids roll their eyes. They're like, okay, Mom, another geometric picture of stitching.
Yeah.
But I love it. I've enjoyed it. It has its has my mistakes in it, but I'm thinking I'm going to take the time to frame that piece. I even have a place to hang it. It's amazing.
There we go.
But
yeah.
So that's
an example of one that, I mean, number one, it's an impressive piece, but it speaks to you and it's gone well for you, so you want to show it off, and so it's worth it to invest some money into it to give it its best showing.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. And when I get Spring Hill done, that'll probably be framed up.
Yeah.
Professionally.
Yeah.
Because it's such a beautiful piece and it's so striking and I'm enjoying stitching it.
Yeah.
But this other one, it's like, yeah, I like it. I mean, I like it. I find it, but I know my kids will look at that and be like, yeah, no, we're not keeping that. That's not, it just doesn't seem like an heirloom piece to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I might as well, you know, figure out how I'm going to finish it myself, display it, enjoy it, you know.
Be done with it. Yeah.
Be done with it.
Yeah.
But like Hannah, you need to have that done nicely. That needs to be done nicely.
Oh, that's getting the full metal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No question. That's getting the full metal. And this one I'm doing for Sarah, that's getting the full metal.
Right.
But it got me thinking, all right, what ones get the full deal and what ones just kind of get the mid-range and yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. So there's some emotion to it too.
Right. And I think it's a matter of personal preference. You know, you've got some Debbie pieces, I'm sure, in your stash that you're like, okay, I stitched them, but you know, I don't care whether they're framed or not because you just enjoyed stitching them,
right.
And maybe they don't fit your decor.
Like I know.
Maybe Marga says, no, they don't fit our decor.
That's more how it goes.
and all right, here's another one. I have Gayan Rogers' Amber Waves. Mm-hmm. I finished the first one. And a friend said, well, are you going to finish those yourself? Because I have finished some of my hearts myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, you know what? I think I'm going to stitch these all up eventually. And have them professionally finished.
Oh, okay.
Because I think they're very cool looking and they're different than the other hearts I have.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I'm going to give them a little bit more special of a treatment than I have some of the other ones that I've, you know, cause I've stitched quite a few of them.
Yeah.
Other hearts.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I just wondered, yeah. Cause there's, yeah. And yeah, for a lot of this stuff, I mean, I couldn't care less if it ever got finished. For me, it's the process of doing it. That's just, I enjoy that part, what you learn, how you get, you know, what you get out of it. But then there are those like Hannah Longstreth where, that one needs to be shown. It came out well. I was pleased with the stitching all the way through. I like the colors. I like the layout. And, it should be shown.
I have pieces in my basement that I've stitched that I enjoyed stitching. But I'm like, okay, now what do I do with these?
Yeah.
I really don't want to frame them and hang them. So they just live in the basement.
Well, and nobody said you have to do something with everything. I mean, the session we had with Barbara Hudson, obviously she doesn't, so.
right.
You know, she's got boxes. She's got, literally buys boxes to put them in because, you only got so much wall space and at some point you start covering the walls with those things and you start to look like a hoarder. So you got to kind of. Use some discretion here.
And I've actually thought, because they're needlepoint pieces, and I thought, you know, I could, they'd be cool as project bags.
Oh, well, there you go. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, but then I have to make them, and, you know, who wants to take time away from stitching to make a project bag?
Yeah, see, this is where my interest, drops like a stone, like, you know, somebody else.
Yep. And you probably don't use project bags.
I can speak to that because when I was moving, when I was packing up to move, I had several project bags. And I was smart enough to put some projects in those bags. So I can count four projects that are in some form of stitching where I can pull the bag and I know all the threads, charts, and everything are right in there. They're all needle points, so I just have to go to the stack of frame things. But yeah, I did. Yeah.
Huh.
Kind of impressive, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Yeah, you'll get over it, trust me. yeah. That's four.
Four.
Yeah.
I don't want, you don't know how many whips
don't,
you have.
Don't
you
ask that. Don't ask that question.
You, it's just,
don't,
yeah,
don't, I, no, don't ask that question.
Well, I just, I thought maybe you might have counted for your own personal information, but then you would have used Teresa's and logged them in. So never mind.
Smart guy would have. Yeah. Yeah. Smart guy would have. Not here. Mm-mm. Nope. Mm-mm. So, yeah, and then I also, in the moving, discovered a project bag I didn't know I had. So now I have one to use again.
Nice.
Yep. If you think about it, this one that I'm doing for Sarah, if I'd put the stuff in that, well, never mind. what a waste. What a waste of a day. Waste of a day. All right, we're going to call it there. Join us tonight for some stitching and chatting.
Yeah.
And... mark the 13th now, 2 o'clock PM Eastern time will be a 3 hour, world cross stitch day. We'll get some guests and we'll stitch and have a good time and have a half hour for restroom breaks. It's going to be exciting.
Yes.
And then remember now, we'll be talking about this. The plans are starting to come together. We'll be at the EGA seminar, the first week in September. So Wednesday night through Saturday, we're going home Sunday morning. That's Labor Day weekend. So we'll be doing live shows and videos and interviews and our own impressions. So you get, if you can't be there, we'll give you a feeling. So that's coming up. Pretty excited about that. That's it.
That's it.
Thanks for listening. Bye.